The worship team wrote that song to express what was going on in that congregation, that they will overcome like Yeshua overcame. So it's a great example of music born out of adversity, if you like. And we got a hold of the song in after they had recorded it. And they called themselves Desperation Band. And at the time when we played the song in 2008, 2009, in our building out in 241, we had, you know, a family that had like four kids that played music, and there was a couple of piano players. Melise played the violin. My son Ian led worship. His wife and did vocals, and I played the keyboard. And so the song was a real success in the congregation. In fact, there were a number of people who drew pictures. They drew what they were feeling, and they were drawing. And children and adults were drawing, and then we collected all of those and placed them. And for about a year, that song had the same effect that you hear in the crowd there when we played it in our little space on 241. And I want to say that that's apropos for us, because that's been a scripture, a memorization scripture for this congregation. It comes from Revelation chapter 12, okay? And it says that we have overcome him, the him there, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony about that blood, and because we love our lives not even unto the death. And I preached a message many years ago, that while it's true that we not esteem our life even unto the death, that sometimes the most difficult thing to do is to give our life when we're alive. You see, the Lord's not looking for dead sacrifices. That's Romans chapter 12. He's looking for live ones. And so to give up our life to serve the Lord, give whatever we have to serve the Lord, whatever that takes, That's what that, to me, that's part of what the scripture also represents. That we love not ourselves and our lives and our issues and, you know, and our anymore. We don't. That instead we're willing to give that up. He that will lose his life, Yeshua said, will gain it. And that's what it means. Part of it, what it means. It means other things as well. But it's an attitude of the heart. That we want to give of ourselves, that we want to give everything, whatever is required of us, we're ready to do that. And that makes us overcomers. And those are the people that in Revelation chapter 12 had succeeded. You know, the banner in heaven at that point is extra, extra, here are the overcomers. And the main line says those are the people that overcame. And how did they do it? They do it by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony about what the blood of the Lamb had done inside of them. It's not the testimony. It's not, you know, well, I when I was young, I was silly and foolish. That's not the testimony. The testimony is what Yeshua done for my life, how it transformed me. Sometimes you want to say a little bit about that, but the emphasis needs to be on Yeshua. Yeshua is a transformation power that came to all of us. I was a sinner, and I came to the Lord, and my life changed completely. And it's not been the same ever since. This is October of 1978. Not been the same. And since then, much the Lord has accomplished in my life, okay? And much for him. And that's Hopefully that's like a bouquet of wildflowers that is being brought to him. And then there's another part. Yes, he did this for me, and I speak about it. Okay? But there's also this laying your life down, setting aside your priorities, setting aside the selfish things of man to gain the best that we can gain, which is to be with Yeshua. I spoke about the WTLG thing that came at noon. It said, where Yeshua said, where I'm coming to make a place for you so that where I am, you may be also. And if it were not that way, I would have told you. Okay, that was in John chapter 14, which we talked about last week. I probably would speak about John 15 and 16, maybe even 17, between now and Shavuot. I thought that was the plan. But the plan changed. And the name of this that the Lord gave me after, you know, I had some time waiting for operations to finish, et cetera, at the emergency room. I'm starting to get very familiar with the emergency room at Chance. I was in a different one this time, in the cardiovascular one. I've been in the cancer center and in all the others. In while we were there for a significant part of the evening while an operation was taking place. And so I have time to talk to the Lord. I sat by myself, and instead of listening to HGTV, which you know what that means, they're always building houses and things. I got away from all of that and sat in a quiet spot where I could think about and commune with the Lord. Think about, make the time that, well, this waiting time, make it useful. And so a lot of discussion about what do you want your congregation to hear between now and Shavuot. And I do ask those questions. What is the status of your congregation? Here's what I see, but what do you see, Lord? More interested in what you want to do than what I want to do. And these scriptures came, and from the scripture will come the title. 1 Peter 1, 13 through 16. So brace your mind for action. Keep your balance. And set your hope completely on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Yeshua the Messiah. Everybody thinks that the time for Yeshua is closer. It's not imminent, but it's closer than it's ever been in my life. Like obedient children, do not be shaped by the cravings you had formerly in your ignorance. Instead, verse 15, just like the Holy One who called you, speaking of Yah Adonai, our Elohim, be holy yourselves. Also in everything you do. For it is written, this is the name, this is the first verse of today's parashat. You shall be kedoshim. That's the name of the parashat. You shall be holy, for I am holy. And the word there in Hebrew is kadosh. You shall be kedoshim because I am kadosh. This is 1 Peter 13 through 16. Peter is quoting today's parashat. He's using as a background, as he's speaking, he's using today's reading in the book of Leviticus. Okay? It's in Leviticus 19, 18, 19, etc. But then there's a scripture that goes along with that. And the scripture that goes along with that is where the title of today's message comes from. It comes from Romans 13, verse 14. I memorized this verse in the King James Version. So I have a, it speaks to me when I quote it from the King James Version, because that's what I memorized. And it's been in my spirit for more than 30 years. And it says the following: make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. I will read that from the TLV in just a minute. Okay? But here's what the Lord was speaking to me about. In this world that we live right now we live in a world that cannot be called wise. This world that we live right now is not very wise. Wisdom seems to have disappeared, evaporated. Not only don't we not have common sense, because Trump ran on common sense. And that message of common sense, put common sense back into government, etc., resonated with 3/4 of the votes of the country. But more than just sense, we are coming to a point where we need wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is seeing everything from God's perspective. He has a different perspective than you and I. He has the perspective of the entire universe. He is omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient, right? So he has all of that going for him. We are finite. I mean, we don't even measure a 10th of 1% of any of those things that he is. He's so much bigger than we are. Yet, we have been given the opportunity, because the Holy Spirit is inside of us, we've been given the opportunity to be able to interpret life from a different book, from a different set of rules, from a different perspective. No, we don't see the world like he sees it, but we have inside of us the Holy Spirit of God that does. And if we allow him, he will share with us those things. And when we begin to see things from the perspective that Yah Adonai or Elohim has, we will be wise. We can't help but be wise. That's the real wisdom. Okay? However, I want to say that to me, there's a satanic strategy to keep people ignorant. People have become more ignorant around us. It's not just me that's saying that. It's every one of you. Everywhere you go in your walk of life, you sometimes shake your head and say, that's not very smart. That's very ignorant. However, that's addressed in that scripture, in those scriptures that 1 Peter is talking about, and in today's Torah portion. This today's Torah portion, Kedoshim, illustrates a great dichotomy. That is, the looking at things and evaluating life from his perspective versus looking at things and evaluating life from our perspective. By the way, as already you know, the Hebrew word that's translated holy is kadosh, which we danced from Karen Davis's voice today. Davis is also John Davis, so who knows if there's not some relation somewhere. You know, all the Davises came out from the Ark of Noah, so they're probably related somewhere. The word is kadosh in Hebrew. And it means holy. It's translated directly as holy. But what does holiness mean? It actually means to sanctify. To sanctify means to set us apart for sacred use. To consecrate. That is to declare as sacred. To declare holy, which means divine. To purify, to cleanse. You see, we are called to be separate from society, but not leave it. We're not called to go in the woods somewhere, okay? I mean, there's some people are called, but we, this congregation, is not called to go open up a tent in the highest peak of Twin Peaks, wherever that is in this country. That's not what we're called. We're called to Gainesville, Florida. This is where we live. We're called to Gainesville, Florida. No mountains around here. The nearest mountain is in Lake, going to Lake Butler, over there where Michael lives. There's actually a sign on State Road 236 that says, you know, put your truck in low gear. In Florida! A molehill. It's not really a molehill. It's actually, you have to do that because a truck will gain too much speed. And there's not a place to go except trees. So, not like North Carolina. If you lose your brakes, you look for a place to go, get off the street, get off the highway, and go into dirt and hope for everything else good there. We're called to be separate, but not removed from. To stay within the world, but not be of the world. And what about, are we going to have divine food all the time? Are we going to have divine provision all the time and all those things? We will sometimes, but the rest of the time we got to work. The rest of the time we got to cook. The rest of the time we got to go buy it. The rest of the time we have to do the work. So we are in the culture. Look, I try growing things and discover that Publix does a better job than I do. And now we have Aldi's and Trader Joe's, and we have all these other places that have a better price than Publix. Not always better quality than Publix. Not Winn-Dixie. It's just a personal opinion of mine. I don't like the rust colors and the orange colors for grocery stores. It's depressing. I like green and white. And the green and white was part of Publix when I came to this city. And the only Publix was on 34th Street and University Avenue. And it was about this big. It's a bigger one there in the same location now. They did not open on Sundays in those days when I first came here. But they seem to have better bread than anybody else, fresher bread than anybody else. And the number one thing I liked, there was no waiting in line. I tell you, for a 17-year-old, waiting on a grocery line to pay for is about as dull as it gets. That's like boring. In that store, they would never let more than two people be on a line. And everybody go up in the place. It's been like that since I came here in 1967. We're called to be separate from society, but we have to live in this society. How is the separate going to work? It's going to work because we're going to make choices on the inside that are not going to go along with what everybody else is going with. And if we don't make those choices, we're not separate, we're not holy. Simple. When it comes to the substance of the word of Adonai, we are instructed to do the following. Quote, put on the Lord Messiah Yeshua and stop making provision for the flesh, for its cravings. Put on the Lord Messiah Yeshua and stop making provision for the flesh. I couldn't find a better title. We need to make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. That comes from Romans 13, right? Make no provision for the flesh. We need to make no provision for the flesh. What is he talking about here? He's talking about our nature. He's talking about who we are as people. Look, When it comes 3 o'clock in the morning, I want to sleep. When it comes to 4 o'clock in the morning, I want to sleep. When it comes to 5 o'clock in the morning, what I want to do is find me a rock someplace, and I served in the military. Find me a rock to put my head on, and I'll go to sleep. The flesh needs to sleep. The flesh needs to eat. We don't want any hangry people around here. So we try to leave, let you go before the noon lunch hour is finished. So because we keep you here an extra half hour, and we now have wild things. And you don't make my heart sing when it's wild things. And you don't make everything groovy when you're hangry. And there are people that get hangry around here. There's people that do. I like to think that I'm not. But the reality is, every time I think I'm something that I'm not, I'm exactly that. Every time that I think I'm not hangry, I'm hangry. Hungry and angry. And you start like, even those things that cost $5 for a piece of something that has 10 zillion calories, about this big, a piece of sweet something, and you look at it on the machine like a chance, and now they take credit cards so you don't have to, they don't take money even hardly, because who has money? Who has that much money to buy this Twinkie, whatever? I mean, there was time when I know many people love Twinkies, okay, or Little Debbie's or whatever. So Little Debbie was like, 50 cents, maybe 50 cents. Back when I first came to this country, well, I like $5 now. But if you look at it long enough and you're hungry and you start to get hangry, you'll get a card out. Give me that Twinkie. And you'll eat it and it tastes terrible, but it's like immediately everything on you says, you just overloaded me with empty calories. What doesn't overload you with empty calories? Do they sell broccoli in those? You just go and press number 5, broccoli. Number 6, green beans. Any of that in there? I mean, the best that they can give you is V8 juice. But read the ingredients in V8 juice. Just read the ingredients. Come on now. I have a wife that reads those things. She'll go, I can't drink this. But I really like it. I can't drink this. But I really like it. It's BOGO. Oh, let's get it. An important part of being holy and separate is to make no provision for the flesh, which is what Romans 13 says. The problem is that no matter what we do, if there's provision for that, you will do it. So go ahead and you want chocolate? They make a $12 flourless chocolate cake in Publix. I don't know. About this big. And it's chocolate on steroids. Okay? And it doesn't take but a sliver and you get it. And it doesn't go bad. We had one in the refrigerator for weeks. Okay? And every time you open, that thing starts talking. And I don't like chocolate. Look, I'm Elise. Do I like chocolate? I don't like chocolate. But that thing talks to me. And I'll get hungry enough and I need a sweet tooth. Marilyn said, well, there's always blank. She didn't even say. And I went right to blank and got a sliver and sat on the chair and provided for the flesh to eat something I don't really even like, chocolate. Yeah, I always feel guilty afterwards. Isn't that part of it? The problem is because we know, maybe you do not know, so I want to educate you today, that Satan exercises power through evil things. Do you know that Satan exercises power through evil things? Do you know that Satan exercises power through evil things? In the scripture it says mediums, horoscopes, tarot cards, objects, artifacts, toys, games, books, art, bad music, foreign, sometimes occult, souvenirs, cards, objects, costumes, paraphernalia. Do you know that the Bible lists that these things are from the kingdom of darkness? I say, somebody need an education here. Since when anything that the devil owns is going to be used to worship God? Since when did the devil take anything from God and keep it holy? Since when did the devil take the music from God and kept it godly music? And let me not forget to say, oh, you're in rare form. Well, guess what? I am. Don't leave out TV shows. Don't leave out movies. Since we preach against TV, 30 years ago, you can ask my daughter, did you have TV connected to cable or to anything when you were growing up? No. What did you have? A VCR with just the right kinds of recorded tapes, such as cartoons, but not the cartoons of today, because they're not very nice. They had one that we got at Pick and Save. I'm actually talking something you don't know anything about. When Pick and Save was going out of business, we went and got a bunch of their VCR video things for 50 cents. And we got Possible Possum. Never heard of Possible Possum. But Marilyn and I watched it to make sure that it was okay for the kids. And they loved Possible Possum. And they played it all the time. It wasn't even all that great a tape, but the things were all a possum doing normal things. Not a rabbit going, hey, Doc. Okay, I mean, I'll take that, but some of the other stuff is ridiculous. I want to tell you something. In the book of Acts, the Ephesians believers, who's the Ephesians believers? Was Ephesus the one that was spoken about first in Revelation chapter 2? The one that the Lord had so very little to say about it, right? Like, you've done everything really well, but you're lacking a little bit of love. That one, huh? That sounded like a pretty good church. Actually, that was John the Revelator's congregation. Did you know that? The Ephesian believers, when Paul came through there, okay, got rid of occult books and items and paraphernalia and burned them in a public heap. Everyone brought, after Paul preached that those things were not pleasing to God, they brought their stuff from their homes and put it in a pile in the middle of the city and burned them. Read about it. It's in Acts 19, verse 19 and 20. And then the Bible says, then the word of the Lord grew in power, prevailing amongst them. Do you think we're exempt here? Did you buy an exemption card? Did you get a designation that you're exempt? I don't think we're exempt. Are we exempt from these things? You go like, well, that was the Ephesians. I ain't got nothing, we say. But let me tell you something. Obviously, Yah Adonai's word is hindered by evil things and objects. Whether you realize it or not, it's right here in the book of Acts. That place doesn't become the place that is talked about in the book of Revelation. The first one of those places, Ephesus. It doesn't become John the Revelator's place that he spent time on. Later on, it's Timothy that spends time there. You know, like the top of the top is the ones that are pastoring that place. It doesn't become that if the people don't do this. And the book of Acts records that for us. Since the word of the Lord is hindered by evil things and objects, don't you think that we should strive to get rid of them? Don't you think that we should follow the example of the Church of Ephesus and really cleanse our homes from chametz? We cleansed, you know, the pantry of chametz. But did we cleanse the book? Did we cleanse the channel? Did we cleanse our homes? There's only one way to deal with bad things like this, and it's illustrated here, is to burn them. Now, what do you mean? We're the saints around here. We call Simcha. We're messianic. We got our stuff together. What do you mean? Let me give you some examples. They're not from here, okay? And then I'll give one that is from here. It was from our house. A believing young woman would sense an evil presence when she's reading the Bible. She said, I feel like the enemy is like around. Reading the Bible? So the wise counselor asked the lady, have you ever dated or been in a relationship with an ungodly young man? Wise question. She said, yeah. So once he said yes, then the wise counselor asked, did he give you gifts? I mean, that's like what happens when people are dating. All right? She said, yes, he gave me gifts. The counselor said, get rid of them. Then get rid of them. Now, she was wanting to get away from the evil presence. So she did it. Not really even totally understanding. And the next thing you know, she had no evil presence reading the Bible. Months later, there was another occasion, and she sensed that the evil presence was trying to come back. Remembering what happened the first time, she asked the Holy Spirit, to look, help me look. Is there anything that I missed? Did I overlook something? So she kept digging around, and in a drawer somewhere. We got places like that. Even I got places like that. Was a ring that he had given her. It wasn't even an expensive ring. It's like, you know, one of those you get in a bubblegum machine. How much money they had, right? She found a ring that he had given her, and she had overlooked it. They didn't go in those drawers very often. As soon as she disposed of it, she said, her peace returned. Here's another one. This is typical. People go on these boat trips to, and they always stop in islands around the Caribbean. I'm born from an island, okay? I'm talking about something I know something about. And they go into places, tourist places, and find things that are from that island. So this man found a mask. It wasn't like totally evil, but it was a mask. Didn't have any idea what it's for. But it looked cool. I'm going to bring it home. He took it and put it in his home office. What a great place. Soon afterwards, he started feeling sickness, marriage pressures, and lots and lots and lots of irritations at home. Who would think that that has anything to do with the price of eggs? So, as it turns out, the wife wanted the office cleaned up. She wanted to put something there instead of the stupid mask. And so he took it and took it to his own office at work. Because after all, it was a souvenir and he bought it. Okay? And he took a bunch of stuff, including the mask, and started having severe business problems and started losing money. A believer, of course, a believer. Well, he got wise and he asked the Holy Spirit, please show me if there's something that I'm missing. He knows, no, this is the testimony. No sooner had he said those words than he looked up and saw the mask. He burned it. And all the problems were gone almost instantly. He did some research on what that was. You know what it was? It was a voodoo mask. It's used in voodoo rituals in almost every island in the Caribbean. The Puerto Ricans have this kind of stuff also. Ah, it's so cute. No, it's not. I'll give you another one. Two elderly women had a sister, and the sister didn't have it together. In fact, they called her, she was insane. But they took care of her because nobody else was going to take care of her. So they get this inspiration, the two sisters taking care of the other one, to go around and do some spring cleaning. Okay? And they started to look around for things that, you know, really are of no use in that house. And they found art objects, pictures, like drawing pictures and painted pictures and books. they took them out and threw them in the dump. To the great, a couple of days later, the insane sister was no longer insane. Now, I gave those because I have nothing to do with Gold Simca. So I'd like to invite Miss Marilyn to come. Use your microphone, please, so they can hear you. And tell you about what happened to us with our son Ian and a toy.
It's me again, guys. Yes, you know, when we first started the congregation, we had learned an awful lot about objects and things like that. So we taught the people that were with us then how to clean their homes of objects. And so we all did that. But sometimes there are things that you don't think about because it doesn't really look evil or anything. And do you remember when Chuck Norris was making movies about, what do you call that, karate? Well, someone had given our son Ian a Chuck Norris doll, and he just had on his karate pants. And if you squeezed his knees together, his arms would move like this. So he must have been, what, 6 or 7? Something like that. Anyway, he was in that age. And they had also given him a transformer kind of vehicle. To me, that looked very evil. So as soon as we could get that away from him in a discreet kind of way without having to say anything about it, we disposed of that. So well, you know, this doll looks okay. It doesn't seem to be a problem.
Well, prior to that, Ian was going around the house. He always jumped everywhere. Were you going to say that?
No, because
he always would jump. You know, thing. We call him Tigger. Mm. A tigger. That's my son Ian. Okay.
Yeah,
There was nothing safe. There was not a door frame he didn't jump and hit. Okay. And so this guy has all this energy and jumping all around. So we know that he's kind of active like that.
Oh yeah.
But all of a sudden, he starts and hitting the walls and kicking things. And Marilyn starts to go like,
"Yes,
what is this?"
Yeah, he's running and jumping and chopping and kicking. And, you know, so I'm going, but it became an obsession. And when he was not working on his schoolwork, that's what he was doing, inside the house or outside the house. Had to put him out because it was so annoying. And then Amelise, she just followed along behind him, trying to copy everything he did. So they're both day after day after day doing this. And it did not happen. This didn't happen immediately with that, when that doll came into our home. But so anyway, at some point I'm going, okay, Lord, there's got to be something. This is so excessive, so abnormal. And so there has to be something in this house somewhere. Help me to find what it is. And so long story short, one day I was putting laundry away in Ian's room, open one of his drawers, and when I move things around, the Chuck Norris doll was in that drawer. So I go, "Oh, there you are. This is it. I knew it immediately. This is the problem." So I said, "Okay, buddy, you're out of here." So I took the thing out, destroyed it. I declared, that the demonic element attached to that doll had to leave our home, our children, everything, our property. So I did not tell the children. I didn't tell them anything about it.
Or me.
And or him, didn't say anything to them. As soon as I did that, they never made another chop or a yell or a kick. I mean, it stopped. instantly. I waited 2 weeks to ask him, have you noticed anything different about the children? And then I told him what had happened. But, I mean, you don't really realize the enemy is looking for every avenue that he can to bring in destruction and to tear up the peace of the home and to influence and however, just to be his evil self, to harm, to bring harm. I mean, those kids could have harmed himself doing the kinds of things he was doing in such an extreme way. But thank the Lord. I mean, since we thank the Lord that we actually knew at some point it was so excessive that there had to be something in our home for the enemy to have that kind of legal right to our child. So, but there are so many people that don't know. And the whole Cabbage Patch doll thing, that's another big, huge, demonic situation. And another time, this one is much shorter. He was already out of college and working in Tampa and living with some friends of ours for a certain period of time. And he began to have some things happen. Right now, I don't remember exactly what it was that was happening with him, but it was very distressing to him. And so at some point, I said, okay, just there has to be something in the room where you're staying. So look in the room, see what you can find, what kind of objects are there, what kind of things are there. Long story short, there was a Cabbage Patch doll there. I said, tell me the name of it. We look up the name, and it's the exact same thing that's happening to him. And so he had to ask the people that he was with to remove the doll, at least from the room where he was staying. It was their doll, but that doll was tormenting him in the night. So the demon attached to that doll that had legal rights. So the things from the islands, people, the demonic realm prays over those things and puts blessings over those objects that innocent people know nothing about. And they bring home this guy that looks he just looks like an old man from the island. No, he represents the spirit of poverty. And so things start turning around in your own finances. There's just many, many, many things like that. It's a real thing.
What makes you think that we can live a messianic lifestyle? If we continue to eat the things that the Lord doesn't call food? What makes you think that we can read the vilest kind of literature? That we can watch the most sensual or horrific TV? I can't tell you how many people say, well, I love horror movies. Well, who's that giving? I mean, it's something about Yeshua? I just can't. And then TV is a central part of their home. It never goes off. You go to the people's homes, and the same thing is blaring all the time. Now everybody has one. Every person in the house has their own TV. Wow. What do they say? Well, we watch movies. What movies do you watch? Oh, the Disney Channel, for example. As if the Disney Channel and the Disney stuff, which is manifested at Disney World itself, and etc., as if there's not occult-themed things happening in these movies. Anything that has to do with magic, witches, warlocks, half-human, half-beast characters, horrific events, bloodshed, carnage, Harry Potter, anything of that, I'm going to tell you, you can do whatever you want to with it because I'm just a voice crying in the wilderness here. Repent. This stuff is not good. And it's especially not good for kids. Oh, go ahead. I mean, you have the experience. I don't. I was at work.
This wasn't at my home, thank the Lord, but we were at a conference in California, and there was a young child, I don't know, maybe 6 or 7 years old, but very, very young, around six, that in the class, one of the classrooms, that he said he was going to put a spell on one of the other kids. That child became violently ill. They had to take the child to the hospital. This guy, this boy was everything Harry Potter. I mean, a child that knows nothing and doesn't understand the spiritual realm whatsoever, but the enemy does. And parents don't understand these things either. And sometimes even in the body of Messiah, they don't have the training at all or any understanding about what their children are being exposed to or what they're bringing in into their home. And I know of believers that we've met through the years that they allow Harry Potter, their books, everything. They want their children to be exposed to a lot of different things. So, okay, but, you know, it's dangerous. It's truly, truly dangerous. This happened at a huge conference. So it was very public what happened there. So I'm sure, I'm hoping, and I don't remember whoever dealt with the parents, I'm sure they got an education about what Harry Potter represents. So, but it was something else. It was a big deal at that conference. Thank you.
Do you think that if you engage in those things, you just watch bloodshed, or you just watch carnage, that's not going to affect your relationship with the Lord? That's not going to affect your intimacy with God? I tell you what, we can't just say it's entertainment, because it's no longer entertainment. It's entertainment for the kingdom of darkness. It's not entertainment for the kingdom of heaven. Look, it's time to get rid of bad, destructive habits in our lives. Don't you think so? We want to go into a revival, but we can't go in the same way that we've been living. We can't continue to carry the habits of our lives and move forward with the Lord. It's not going to happen, my friends. I want to say a number of other things. Do you think that you can play these modern evil-based computer games and deceive yourselves that that's just entertainment? The problem is that I'm a computer engineer. I am a computer engineer. I taught programming languages. If there's something I know about in life, it's programming computers. And I tell you what, every computer program represents its author. There is a human author. People ask me, what about artificial intelligence? Answer, some guy wrote the program, didn't it? So when did the some guy writing the program elevates itself to anything equal to God, to any kind of human intelligence? We couldn't make, if we made a robot when I was at the University of Florida that had the intelligence of a roach, we had something. I mean, the roaches are smarter than we are. If you don't think so, tell me how much money they spend in Florida to take care of roaches. Tell me how much money is spent in Florida to take care of termites. So as far as I'm concerned, the termites are winning by you know, billions of dollars. They control the state. They control the construction industry. Those things, they don't even have a head. Or, you know, are you kidding me? We want revival to start in our time, and we especially would like it in our congregation. We say, I say, why not us? But if we're going to have a revival, we've got to do what the Bible tells us to do. We just did Hametz, but how far did the Hametz thing get done? Did we go into every place in our inside rooms and do a cleansing? Have we taken a look at junk that we've been carrying that maybe didn't mean anything a lot of years ago, and now you go and go, oh, that's not good. Last week, Revitin said that Yad and I had been on a continual Hametz cleanse since Passover in our house. Well, actually, so I guess that's true. We are the only ones that have Hametz, so we're the only ones that are cleaning it. But of course, we're not the saints. You are. If you're the saints and we're not, then we're not saints. We must be the evil ones. So let me tell you something. The evil ones up here, we got stuff we got to get rid of. We got stuff we got to clean. Are you prepared to ask the Holy Spirit to show you what areas in your temple he cannot enter because they are contaminated? That was 2 weeks ago. Tasriya Metzora. Tameh is called in Hebrew. Whether in your body or in your homes, in your office or your car, whatever you have jurisdiction for, is there still anything hiding in there that's not godly? And I'm not talking about bugs. They could be there too. Or are there any areas in your heart that is not godly? You see, I think it's time to get honest here. And the problem is that this last few months, and especially this week, this is speaking loud to me. Because I see people, and then I don't see them anymore. Last week I wanted to show a video. And the same thing that's happening today with the technology happened last week. I sent John the link. We didn't have time to get it loaded because it was last minute, da-da-da-da, whatever. So he tried to play it, and it went to some other video. The same title, the same everything. It just went to some other video. And I'm sitting up here going, what happened? So I said, it's better for me not to make an example. The video had nothing wrong, speaking about somebody who died, that Yeshua showed them things that are going to happen. But that wasn't the video I wanted. That wasn't the video I was prepared to do. That video left me with my message dangling. So what are you going to do about it? Well, I'm going to talk about it. The video that I was supposed to show you had almost identical orchestration, etc. But it was about someone who passed, you know, seemed to have had something at a drugstore, and went and during a period of time went and met Yeshua. Yeshua showed her a lot of things. What she said she saw were the people that, especially the part that impacted me, were the people in her church. And it started to show her, well, look, that's so-and-so, and they preach the word. All they talk about is scripture. So she kind of like asked Yeshua, well, why, what's wrong with that person? Why is he not in the right place? And Yeshua said, his heart was far from me. He preached the word, but his heart was far from me. There was a singer. There was a choir person. There was all these people that you wouldn't know. Look around. Look left, right, front, and back. We don't know what's going on inside of any of you. So, the caption of the video that didn't play, it's the same caption. John said, here it is. Rabbi, it says it's the same thing. It sure did. Here's what it said in the caption. The title was, She Dies and Jesus Shows Her the Sin That Sends Millions of Christians to Hell Every Hour. I wanted that for last week, but didn't get it. What's the bottom line? I wanted to know, what is the sin? What is the sin? If there's a sin, what is that? What is the irreducible minimum of what's going on? The Lord said to her in the video, the sin is pride. The same sin that caused Satan to be ejected from heaven. But I'm not proud. Right. I'm not proud. Oh, right. Of course you are not. I'm not selfish. I'm not self-centered. Actually, I'm both proud and selfish. I have great news for us. Have you seen the commercials of Mr. Clean? Ho, ho, ho. You know, the Green Giant one, right? Have you seen the commercial of Mr. Clean? He got the look and everything. He can make everything clean. Well, Mr. Clean is around right now. His name is the Holy Spirit of God. And Mr. Clean was sent to us for that very reason. To help us cleanse out our temples. Here's the most fearful scripture that I have ever read in the Bible. Here it is. It's in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23. It says, Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Go to heaven. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. The will of who? Self-will? The will of the church. The will of the neighbors. The will of the wife. Sorry, but it's the will of the Father in heaven. Verse 22. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we predict the future in your name? Didn't we drive out demons in your name? Didn't we perform many miracles in your name? Verse 23. Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. The word know there is intimacy. I never had intimacy with you because you never had intimacy with me. It's not knowing here. It's knowing here. The heart. Get away from me, you workers of lawlessness. It says the TLV. That word lawlessness in the King James Version is iniquity. Which is defined, I don't have time to preach it, self-will. Iniquity is self-will. Iniquity is what sent Yeshua to the cross, according to Isaiah 53. He was wounded for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities, our self-will. Look, you know what's sad about this? That all those people went to the judgment seat of Messiah and were actually deceiving themselves. That was the bottom line of that video. I want to ask the question, how many of us are going to continue row, row, row your boat gently down the stream, merrily, 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 life is but a dream? How many of us are going to continue to not get real with the Lord? It's time to stop playing games. I don't know that the two people who passed away knew they were going to pass away. I don't know that they didn't know that their time was short. I don't know. I do something about me. Last night I took a medicine I have poison oak or poison ivy all over my body right now. So they gave me this medicine, and last night I took it at 7:15. At 7:45, my pressure went over 200. My blood pressure went to 240 over 110. You know, look it up and see what they call that. It's like stroke pressure, etc. It takes us 30 minutes to get to an emergency room and 10 minutes to check in. So I decided to sit down and start praying. First thing I did was confess every sin I know, just what you did. And I said, Lord, if this is my time, I want to go ready. But if it's not my time, then give us wisdom on how to overcome this. So Marilyn starts reading, drink water, drink electrolytes, drink. Start doing this breathing, and it'll lower your pressure. I start doing those things. And with every, I take a reading, take another one, and watch it go down 10 points. Take another one, watch it go down 10 points. Watch another one, take it go down 10 points. It went from 242 to below 150, which is my normal. I want you to know something. Not only am I ready to preach to you, it's because I've been where people pass away. The people passed away here this week. But I came that close. I was that close. You understand? It is not time to play games no more. Yeshua is not interested in what you think or what I think. Let's talk about Tony. He's not interested in what I preach. He's not interested in what I think. Not really. He's interested in, is my heart. He's interested in my heart. Is my heart pure before him? Am I doing anything because of my heart? In my heart, am I worshiping God? Or am I getting distracted by, well, that's just the way I am. That's just the way I am. You know, I have all these excuses why I don't do what I'm supposed to do. That's just the way I am. I'm okay. But the video last week sent a message saying, well, are you sure you're okay? And the scripture comes to, I mean, they had it in the video too, but it didn't have to. I knew what the scripture says. I don't like this scripture. This is talking about me. You see, we need to judge ourselves so we ourselves won't be judged. That's what we were told. We need to stop deceiving our own selves because the flesh deceives us. Therefore, we need to make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof, because the flesh is only going to fool us. Needless to say, since last night, I have a a very serious thing driving inside of me that says, you don't know the day or the hour. Are you ready? Look, you could say, well, this is the hell, fire and brimstone message. I don't want to get to have done all of this, what I think I've been doing for God, and come face to face with the Master. And me say, well, you build a nice messianic congregation. You preach all these messages. I never knew you. What do you mean you didn't know me? That word know is yodea. How's your intimacy with me? Have you made me really king of your life? I tell you what, I think that we fail. I think I fail. I failed in taking things seriously. And now I'm faced with them. And I have to come. I'm driven. Look, if I didn't want to make sure, I want to make sure I had a voice left. Forget singing. I need to tell you this. I may not be the most likable person in the world right now. But I tell you what, it's best for us sometimes to get the truth and fix things than it is to get the judgment. And the only one who can make the judgment is Yeshua. And what those videos do is remind us all that we're going to go before him and that somehow we have to be out of this scripture. We got to be out of this. We can't be the ones in Matthew chapter 7. We can't be. I don't think we want to wait for the judgment seat. Do you think that Yah Adonai and his Holy Spirit are not fooled by our superficiality? I picked that word very carefully. You can say, oh boy, today the rabbi we just got out of there barely. And just like, my last statement, this scripture in Matthew is one to be reckoned with by everybody. You and I together. The question I have for you, is there a better time than now? Is there a better time than now? Father God, in Yeshua's name, I present myself. Lord, I like to think that I was a living sacrifice. I want to be in Romans 12, holy and acceptable to you, which is my reasonable service. But Lord, I hear all these other, all of a sudden, these other scriptures that I don't like keep popping up. You're justified. I was, and I continue to be a sinner. So how can I deal with this? That's in Romans chapter 7, at the very end. What can anyone do? What? Begins chapter 8. What can I do? Paul answers the question. But in Yeshua the Messiah, we have the answer for the Romans 7 problem, which is, Paul said, which I want to do, I don't do, and that which I don't do, I do. So who's going to deliver me from this evil body of sin? Paul. What? I thank God through Yeshua the Messiah, begins chapter 8. So here's the answer, guys. The Lord is willing. The Lord is present to heal. And he has sent his Holy Spirit to speak to us. I am seriously asking you to consider carefully today and to not take for granted. Some of you are young and you don't really have the pressure that 76 years old has. I'm not infallible. I'm not forever. I've deceived myself so much because I realize that I've deceived myself in stupid things like food, like a piece of cake, like a Twinkie. I've deceived myself in all kinds of things. What if I am not doing really good in those minutia things, how am I doing in those really important things? It's a good question to ask. It's a good question at this point to say, Lord, I am open to you. Bring your Holy Spirit. Bring Mr. Clean and cleanse me. Lord, cleanse me before Shavuot. Do that now. So, Lord, I confess my sins to you. The prayer we say almost every Shabbat. He being merciful forgives our iniquity and our sins. Often, he's merciful. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving and exceedingly kind to all who call upon you. And then he quotes 1 John. If we confess our sins, we find that he, Yeshua, is faithful. The Father is faithful to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness through the blood of Yeshua, the Messiah. So we have access. It's, by the way, here's the thing. Is it just enough to say the words? I was really convicted. I'm thinking this. I could die right now. Last night. I covered up the thing. Marilyn said, well, what did it say? I covered it up because I didn't want her to see 240. I saw it. So now, I'm praying. Is that prayer? I mean, is it like real? Or I'm not, it is not fear, by the way. It's just immense respect to realize that I am capable of trivializing and not getting to the meat of what's going on. And so I start to pray and my mind wanders elsewhere at that moment and start thinking, no, you know what? It doesn't really matter right now what the machine says or what I'm doing. What matters right now is that I'm speaking with you. I want your undivided attention. And it was like an echo came back. And I want yours. It was like an echo came back. And I want yours. Lord, forgive me for my flesh. I am serious. Lord, I want to make things right. And if peradventure this isn't it, I want your Holy Spirit to come help me cleanse my temple. Lord, I want to be ready from this point on. No, if you can, just Close your eyes right now and tell the Lord anything that's in your heart right now. Just tell him. The people are asking Yeshua, you know, they were asking, send a man that's in heaven and is looking at the man that is not. And he sees his brother down there, you know, figuratively brother, and asking for a drop of water. The man who is in the bosom of Abraham is unable to. But he sees that. And so the question was asked, Lord, shouldn't he be allowed to go back and tell everybody what he saw? I'm paraphrasing. The answer was very interesting. Even if one resurrects from the dead, they will not believe him. But one did. Listen, Yeshua said, even if one resurrects from the dead, they won't believe it. So no, they're not sending him back. But one did resurrect from the dead. You understand? One did resurrect from the dead. One, the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, went through all that stuff and has the answer for you and me. But we got to get real with him. He's got to get heart to heart. We got to have a connection at the heart level with him. I can't make you do that. I can't even make me do that. But I'm going to try. I'm going to try with my own self. I'm going to try with you. That's the reason I'm standing here today. Do not wait. Please do not wait. Go to the one who did resurrect from the dead and have a heart-to-heart connection with him. It's a private thing. It's a private thing. By the way, that includes you children as well. This is not an adult problem. This is a man, a human problem. All of us here need to really connect with Yeshua at the most intimate level. And if we do, we can get out of this scripture. Everybody focuses on calm all you faithful servant. Much is prepared for you, and the goats, and with the sheep, not the goats. And nobody really pays much attention to this one. I think it's an important one because all the people in here weren't the murderers. It wasn't the murderers he's talking to. It wasn't the satanic occult people. It wasn't the robbers or the. He's talking to people that preach the word. He's talking to people that are part, that do drive out demons. We pray for one another, don't we? We pray for one another. We pray for deliverance. We pray for healing. At the end of it all, we pray for healing. People get healed. We pray for deliverance. People get delivered. And we get nothing? Why? Because it's possible. Like possible possum. It's possible, it's possible. Yes, it's possible, but I don't want it to be likely. So we have every year the time from Passover to Shavuot to cleanse one more time. To do spring cleaning. It's a spring, isn't it? I know you go outside and it doesn't feel like it, but it's supposed to be spring right now. Until June 20th. It's spring cleaning. And we need to start cleaning ourselves. My mom died in my hands, and so did my aunt. I'm familiar with when life goes away. It's just like that. Just like at 8 o'clock last night. I don't know how much time I may or may not have. I'm here. I survived, okay? I wrote the doctor and said, I don't think I'm taking that medicine anymore. The side effects are worse than what is published. Mary went and looked up the side effects and said, well, that wasn't in the paper. Here they are. Well, in low doses. Said, well, what dose did you have? 20 milligrams. It didn't seem to matter at all. 20 milligrams or 200, right? When he was just doing me in. So I wrote the doctor and said, with all due respect, I'm not taking that anymore. We'll have to find some other way, but not that. I said to the nurse, she said, are you allergic to anything? I said, no. Do you have any side effects from anything? No. I have something now. I have one now. I'm not exempt, am I? I love you guys. I love you so much. I love the congregation. I'm here because I care. So are the elders here because we care. I'm here for you. So, Yeshua, I come before you right now. I have fallen short. Jackie led us into saying, we confess everything. Jackie, remember you said that? We confess everything before you, Lord, before we even begin the service. So we are confessing some more. It hasn't been finished. There's some more to confess. As the service ends, we confess everything, Lord. We have to get more serious with you than just everything and get specific and deal with the specifics of our life. I encourage you to do that during this time. And I think we will have the most glorious Shavuot we've ever had. Please stand.